services. We can't tell you how much we appreciate that so very much. God is in this place this morning. Brian is standing to thank God, and we should all be thanking God. We should all be praising God. We all have something to be thankful for. I haven't even thanked him enough for saving me, and that happened 30 years ago. So there's many things that happened since then that I'm thankful for. God is good to us all the time. Acts chapter 6 and 7, we're looking at Stephen this week. We've been talking about learning from the apostles. This is our series through Acts. Action, really. The church is in action. But Acts, you could say, is really not just the Acts of the church, but it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the church. We find that again today. The great hallmark of this great man, Stephen, is that he is full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that. And full of God's strength and grace moving in his life. The same Holy Spirit, I said it a moment ago, who's here with us this morning. Read with me. I'm going to read a few verses from the end of chapter 6, which is a short chapter. And then a few verses in chapter number 7, because we're introduced to Stephen. We were last week. We're introduced to Stephen in chapter number 6 when we talked about participation in ministry and how that it takes all of us together. Well, Stephen was one of those who was involved in helping the widows. He's one of the 7 that was selected, prayed over, anointed, and sent out to serve and to help with the widows. And that in turn helped the whole church. Because immediately after the apostles took care of this issue within the church, it says, then the word of God spread. The number of the disciples multiplied. The same is true today. When we partner together in ministry, the word of God spreads more effectively. I want to thank you again for whatever it is that you do in giving, in praying, and serving. Thank God for you. Stephen was one of those who was involved in the church. He stood, we find this out as we go through these scriptures, he stood for Jesus. He stood for Jesus when it was easy, and he stood for Jesus when it was hard. He stood for Jesus when it was joyful. He stood for Jesus when it was not as joyful. But he stood for Jesus all the time. And here's what we need to remember. If you will stand for Jesus, he'll stand with you. If that's what I find from Stephen that I'll never forget. If I stand for Jesus, he will stand with me. He'll stand with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And life is too short to just stand for yourself. Stand for Jesus. That's the most important part of life. Here in Acts chapter 6, in verse number 8, after we were introduced earlier to Stephen as being part of the 7 who helped to serve the widows, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit. That's a capital S, the Holy Spirit. They weren't able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. Notice all these references in Acts to the Holy Spirit in all different ways, in all different people, in all kinds of people, in all kinds of ministries. Then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Part of the enemy's work against Jesus, you remember. And they stirred up the people and elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council looking steadfastly at him saw his face as the face of an angel. God was with him. God was in him. Then the high priest asked, are these things so? Chapter number 7 is the longest address in the book of Acts, the longest speech, you might say, in the book of Acts, and Stephen gives it here. And he starts from way back talking about how that God selected Israel. God delivered Israel. God continued and kept calling Israel, sent the prophets to Israel. God was so patient with Israel and loving to Israel. And over again, they would reject the overtures of God's mercy and goodness. And he comes to the end of that. We can't read every verse. Read it this week. It's a powerful, powerful defense by Stephen, who is full of the Holy Spirit. At the end of that defense, here's what he says in verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Well, that really set them off. He was saying that they were not in covenant with God, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, Jesus, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. Whew, he really wasn't playing around, was he? Who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. They cast him out of the city and they stoned him. The witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, who would become Paul when he gives his life to Christ. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. God, we pray that you give us the strength we need, the courage we need to stand for you in our lives. For the short time we are here, we want to serve you. We want to face our fears with boldness and courage, like Stephen did. And we want to represent you well in every place, in every area, at every time in our lives, standing for you. Stand with us today. Fill us again and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you stand for Jesus, he will stand with you. But there is something else to be said about that. And Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 10. He said in verse 32, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father. If you stand for me, I'll stand with you. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. That really should make us all sit up and pay attention this morning when Jesus says that if you confess me before men, if you stand for me, I'll stand with you before the Father. But the opposite is also true. And we'll get back to that. I'll touch some of those in Matthew chapter 10. Those verses are very important. I'll touch them in a second. This week, I was thinking about how that we need courage in this life. And God gives us the courage. Jesus, part of the reason I want you to remember that he'll stand with you is because I want you to have courage. Courage to face your doubts and fears. Strength to live for Jesus. You know, when Paula first decided she wanted to ride a motorcycle, her dad will get a big kick out of this one. When she first decided she wanted to ride a motorcycle, she got her Uncle Donnie, not Donald Harn, Donnie Harn, but Donald Lucas, which is really Pastor Harn's first cousin, passed away a few years ago, but he had a Harley and he took Paula out and he was going to help her learn how to ride the Harley. So he started it and she got on it. They went to an empty parking lot not far from our house. And he told her, now you just got to let out the clutch. It's on the left, right? I don't ride a motorcycle. It's on the left. Let out that clutch slow and then turn the throttle just a little bit. And she sat there and she sat there and she sat there. But he encouraged her they were gone for a couple of hours and they weren't riding to Pennsylvania and back. They never left that parking lot. They come back and he was just a little frustrated. But he was patient with Paula and he stood by her side for probably about an hour until she started to let that clutch out. And I mean, she wasn't on what she has now, a little Vespa. She was on a big Harley and it rumbles, you know. So it took a while, but the reason she was finally able to let the clutch out, give it a little bit of gas, was because her uncle stood next to her and encouraged her. I want you to know this morning that when you determine that you're going to stand with God, serve the Lord in areas of your life, he stands with you. He never leaves your side. He never forsakes you. I've referenced Matthew chapter 10. I thought about that this week as I was reading through the story of Stephen and how that Jesus was standing with Stephen. And I remembered, the Holy Spirit reminded me of what Jesus said. If you represent me before men, I represent you before the Father. And then I flip back to Matthew chapter 10 to look at that verse. And really, that's in the larger context of Jesus saying, if you go back to verse 16, I'm going to send you out and it'll be like your sheep among wolves. It's a difficult world we live in. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. Jesus said it then, and it's as true today as it was then. And there will be difficulties and trials, and yes, sometimes even persecution. And he goes through some of that. And then he says to them, but don't fear them, in verse 26. There is nothing covered that won't be revealed and hidden that it won't be made known. Have you ever, of course you have. Does your mom ever tell you it'll all come out in the wash? Jesus is saying here, the truth will come out. Live by the truth. Here's the truth. Live for me. It's going to be okay. In the end, you'll be shown to be right. You'll stand before God. You'll get rewards, as a matter of fact, for living right. The Bible talks about getting crowned. It talks about, Paul talks about standing before God and everything we've done in this life. And I'm talking about Christians. It will be tried as if by fire, to see whether it's wood, hay, and stubble or precious gems and stones. The things that you do for Jesus will last. You hear that expression? Only what's done for Christ will last. It'll all come out in the end. Don't fear. It will be revealed that you've lived right. It may not come today, but it will. And then he says, and also, don't fear those who can only kill the body, verse number 28, but can't kill the soul, but rather fear him, that is God. Have a godly reverence for him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. In other words, what can people do to you? God ultimately has all power. Don't worry so much about them. Serve the Lord. And then he goes on to say, you're worth more than many sparrows. The hairs of your head are numbered. If you confess, that's when he gets to the, finally to the point, confess me before men. So that whole section of scripture is about serving God, even when it's difficult. And Jesus promising at the end to stand with us. Jesus said it. Stephen lived it. He said it. And Stephen actually lived it. And I've just come this morning to tell you to stand for Jesus in your life. Stand for him. You know, Stephen wasn't an apostle, but he decided that he was going to love and serve Jesus in the church. God did signs. Let me read that again, make sure I got that right. Yep, great wonders and signs through a layman, Stephen. God anointed that man and used him. And I'm saying the same Holy Spirit that's available to me and Pastor Harn is available to you. So stand for Jesus. Stand for Jesus. I find that Stephen stood for Jesus by using the opportunities that God gave him. When it came time to serve the widows, whatever that looked like. Some theologians say it was distribution of food. Others a distribution of money. Some say a combination of both. And whatever it was, they were serving the widows. And Stephen said, let me serve. In doing that, he was standing for Jesus. You know, we have areas in our lives, places and people that we're meant to serve. I talked all about it last week. Church is one of them. The kingdom of God through the local church, Virginia Avenue Church of God, is one of those places where you can get involved and serve. And when you stand and serve God and serve the kingdom and serve God's people, you're standing and serving with Jesus. He said, when you give a cold cup of water in my name, it's as if you've done it for me. You're doing it with him, side by side with him. Some of you, I thought about those who are caregivers. I got a phone call this morning from someone who's taking care of their spouse, and they said, I haven't slept for two nights and I'm kind of exhausted. But we do those things because God loves us and loves them. We do it as a commitment to our spouse and to others that we're serving, but it's also standing with Jesus because it's the place where God has put us. It's the person God has put us with to serve and to love. All of these are ways in which we serve God. We use the opportunities he's given us. Use the gifts he's given you. Use the gifts he's given to you. We find that Stephen was anointed mightily. And God, we don't know all the signs and wonders. Have you ever wondered when you read what the wonders are? I have. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll get to know. I heard a preacher say not long ago that his son They went to Disney World, and he saw all the long lines at the rides and things. And he said, "Dad, when we get to heaven, will there be long lines of people waiting on to see Jesus?" He said, he thought about it. You know, kids ask some good questions. He said, "Probably so." And then he said, "But maybe there won't be long lines waiting for, to see some of the lesser disciples and apostles and stuff like that." He said, "Yeah, you're probably right. That'll be a shorter line. You can stand in a shorter line." I don't know if all these questions will be answered when we get to heaven, but I know one thing. You'll get rewards for what you've done with what God has given you in this life. You'll get rewards for what you've done while you're here. Use the gifts God has given to you. I ran into Rick Becker in the hallway this morning, and I said, "We've got a few more exit signs that need to be put up. I don't dare touch them because that could be an electrifying experience for me. That's not an area I'm gifted in." We have things that we can do that other people can't do. Stephen, God did wonderful things through Stephen. So we stand with Jesus, for Jesus, when we use the opportunities. And they are, right now, maybe God's telling you, reminding you about an opportunity in the church, with your family, at work, to stand for Jesus. Do it. Maybe he's reminding you about some gifts, some areas where you can use your gifts to glorify him. Do it. Stand for Jesus when it's easy, so that you can stand for him when it's hard. Stephen stood for Jesus at the beginning when we read about all that was going on in the church. That was more of the easy times. Serving, loving, wonders, signs, the great things are happening. The kingdom is expanding. Even some of the, we read at the end of chapter number 6, when the word of God begins to spread, even some of the priests become obedient to the faith. In other words, they get saved. They give their lives to Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful time. And he is standing with Jesus then. You know, there are some people, this sounds paradoxical to me, but there are people like this, and I'll bet you know some, who say, "You know, later, maybe I'll give my life to him later." Some maybe think on their deathbed. Some think, you know, this is what I mean about paradox. If things get really bad, I'll call on the Lord. If things get really bad, I'm not so sure. See the proving ground, the preparation time. Stephen stood for him at the beginning, and he stood for him, for God at the end, for Jesus at the end. And we read about it there in the end of Acts chapter number 7. He even prayed like Jesus did for those who were executing him, stoning him. He even prayed for them. Whew. Now, that is also standing, extending that mercy. That's also standing for Jesus in a wonderful, glorious way. There's a little fable that helps us to understand about how important it is to start now. Stand with him now. Get in the game now. It's a little fable about two football teams. One was made up of little animals, and one was made up of big animals. At halftime, the score was 84-0. The big animals obviously were winning. The little animals thought, "This is absolutely hopeless." At the opening of the second half, the chimpanzee handled the kickoff, but he's on the big animal team. He was tackled on the 10-yard line, the worst field position of the day for the big animals. On first down, the elephant ran through the middle, but it was stopped for no gain. On the second down, they threw to the zebra, a pass, but again, someone knocked the ball down. No gain. As the defensive unit of the little teams came running off the field and screaming in glee, the coach of the little animals, who was a gopher, shouted over their excited roar, "Who made the tackle at the kickoff?" The centipede said, "I did, coach." "Who stopped that elephant going down the middle?" The centipede said, "I did, coach." "Who knocked down those two passes?" And to the gopher's amazement, the centipede said again, "I did, coach." Having heard all of that, the coach screamed at the centipede, "Where were you in the first half?" To which the centipede replied, "I was in the locker room taping up my ankles." See, the centipede's got a lot of legs. I think most of you got it. But the moral of the story is, get in the game. Like Stephen, get in early. Get in soon. Get in now. Get involved in the game. And join hands and stand with Jesus. Stand for Jesus. Because you're going to make a big impact, bigger than you even think. I said in the early service that Gary probably has no idea how much of an impact he makes on me just by being here. His whole family. Because I know that it is a family-wide effort so that Gary can come to God's house. Now, he may not think that's a big deal, but it is. It's a big deal. You take the steps you can take with and for the Lord, and he'll stand with you. He'll make more of your effort, of what you're doing, than you could ever imagine. The same Holy Spirit that was with Stephen is with us. We can do it. We can. You know, at the beginning of our story, in Acts 6 and 5, early on, when it talks about how that he got involved helping out with the widows, it calls Stephen a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Now, God didn't put that in there by accident. There are no wasted words in the Bible. At the end, when his stand for Jesus was not as easy, they gnashed at him with their teeth, 7:54, chapter 7, verse 54. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, verse 55 says, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. There it is again. He's full of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you this morning, the same Holy Spirit is in this place. I pray that he's already moving on you, refreshing you. You know, this is a Pentecostal church. The Holy Spirit moves in other churches too. But I'm saying to you this morning that you have liberty, liberty here. To clap your hands, to say amen, to thank the Lord. The Holy Spirit is going to strengthen you. So stand in the power of the Spirit. Stand for Jesus. The good news is he stands with us. I don't know if you caught this at the beginning when we read through the scriptures, but as we get to the end of Stephen's story, well, the end of his earthly story, it just began in heaven. I would like to see Stephen in heaven. Woo! I'd like to, I don't know if I'm worthy to shake his hand, but he's the first martyr here in the book of Acts. And wow, the way that he went right into the arms of Jesus. Did you notice a significant point? And really, it was the idea that struck me for the subtitle of this sermon, to stand with Jesus. It's for Jesus, he'll stand with you because Jesus stands. The Bible tells us, Jesus said himself, after I ascend, I'm going to sit hereafter at the right hand of the power of God. Paul says in Colossians, he is seated at the Father's right hand. Hebrews says that after he purges our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty. But Stephen, when the heavens are rolled back, Jesus stands up for Stephen. He stands up to welcome the first martyr, him who was standing for him. Jesus stood with him. He stood up in judgment of those who were against him. He stood to welcome him into his eternal reward. And he stands with you too, church. That brings me to my first point, though, in that Jesus stands with us against and in the face of our enemies. Like he did with Stephen, he is with you as well. I know sometimes we get weary in life, worn down. I want you to know Jesus stands with you. He never, ever leaves you or forsakes you. He's not like us. We're capricious. We're fickle. We're emotional. And sometimes we feel like God's with us. And the next day we say, God, where are you? Even happened in the Bible to some of the best men of God. But he is there. He's there. I'm telling you, as long as you don't turn around and run from him, as you don't turn your back on him, we read it in Matthew 10, he is there. The only way that he's not there is if we leave him, if we forsake him, and we dare not leave him or forsake him. He stands with us in the face of our enemies. He stands with us in our fiery trials. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. They wouldn't worship that idol. They would only worship the one true God. So they were thrown into the fiery furnace. The king looks in and is astonished to see them loose and walking around with one who looks like the Son of Man. In other words, with Jesus. There they are, standing with Jesus. And Jesus is with them in their fiery trial. And he's with you in your fiery trial. Jesus stands with us when we feel alone. You don't have to raise your hand, but I'll bet you in a in a crowd this size, there's somebody who feels alone, lonely. You can be in a group of 5,000 people and feel lonely, but he is in you, with you, always. The Apostle Paul says, he's writing to Timothy, at my first offense, no one stood with me. He felt like he had been left alone. All forsook me. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, he says. So it wasn't just a symbolic thing. That's what I'm saying to you today. And I'm wrapping this up. Musicians, come back. It's not just a symbolic thing. It's not just a theological concept. It's not just pie in the sky. It's not just a wonderful idea that gives a preacher a good sermon. It's real. He's with you. He's in you. He will strengthen you. I want you to stand with me, please, this morning. Here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to reach out to touch him. We're going to reach out to touch him. The Holy Spirit that strengthened Stephen will strengthen you. The Holy Spirit that gave him courage will give you courage. The Holy Spirit that gave him wisdom when he spoke will give you wisdom. The same Holy Spirit is here. Gather with me. Won't you begin right now? Gather with me here at the front. We're going to sing and worship at the same time as we reach out in prayer so that he can fill us again. I know you do. You want to stand for Jesus. And I'm telling you, he's going to stand with you. He's going to make more of what you're doing than you could ever imagine. Reach out. Close your eyes. Lift your hands. Lift your hearts. Lift your voices. And call on him this morning who's here. Let his strength refresh you. Let his spirit touch you again. Come, we pray, Almighty God.